You might have a few words to say, because you're a walking Bible in the sense that the Lord Jesus is in us, and we pray that His Holy Spirit guides us and directs us what to say at the needed time. John the Baptist, chapter 3, verse 7. John is pretty popular. Then said he to the multitude that came forth to be baptized of him, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth, therefore, fruits worthy of repentance, and begin not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. Father, thank you for your word. You know everything. You direct our steps, and you've directed them tonight. You always direct us. May we always have faith to see your hand in our lives. Now bless, I pray, thy servant and the word in Jesus' name. Amen. Who hath warned you? Have you ever heard the expression, who told you that? Who hath warned you? Then said he to the multitude that came forth to be baptized of him, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth, therefore, fruits worthy of repentance, and begin not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. There are, I'm sure, many that have repented, but not everyone that repents brings forth fruits worthy of repentance. When you come to Christ, there should be a change in your life. There should be fruits brought forth worthy of repentance. It's not just an intellectual decision, although that be part of it. But he said, bring forth fruits worthy of repentance. He's not preaching works, by the way. He knows it's the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. But that's a sermon for another day. But John is talking to a multitude. Thousands are there to hear John. They were coming to be baptized by John. And please notice what John says. John definitely is not seeker-friendly, and yet they still came. I don't think you have to be seeker-friendly in order to get people to come. But he said, O generation of vipers. Well, that's a nice thing to warm your audience up. But he said, O generation of vipers. He's calling them snakes. And John is addressing not one age group, but he's addressing a generation, which usually accounted for about 40 years. But then he says to this crowd, O generation of vipers, or snakes. It wasn't a compliment. But let's look at these words. Who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? John knew by the word of God that he was the voice crying in the wilderness. John, I'm sure, was a rare man to know that he was one that the scriptures foretold. Can you imagine living, knowing the Bible talked about you personally, individually? John had an awareness of that, and yet it did not go to his head, because we know he said, he must increase, but I must decrease. But John knew by the word, and no doubt by a revelation, a wrath that was coming. He no doubt has heard of his own birth I'm sure that that was passed on of the miraculous birth that John had. Remember, John is filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb. And so this Holy Ghost preacher is asking a question to his listeners. Who hath warned you about the wrath that is going to come? I think you could say apparently they did not have a belief or a conviction that wrath was coming. That's why I asked him, who warned you? Apparently your idea of God's wrath isn't right. And if they did, they certainly didn't believe that they were going to be recipients of that wrath. They may have thought it was coming, but they surely didn't think that it would apply to them and it wouldn't affect them at all. John asked, who hath warned you from the wrath to come? So let's look at this wrath that John is talking about. John just didn't pull that thought out of the sky. John is referring to God's anger, his judgment that certainly was going to come. He's basing this message that he's giving, no doubt, from past warnings in the Old Testament, because God's wrath had come in the past. It was not a new doctrine or a new teaching. Judgment had come in the past. If God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, then throughout the ages there have been times, without question, God's wrath and the cup of iniquity became full and wrath was poured out. In the years before John, there are plenty of recordings we know, I'm sure, John gathered in the sacred scriptures telling of past judgments showing God's wrath. There is the judgment of Noah, the wrath that came then when God destroyed the world with a flood. Noah warned the people. He warned them over and over and over. God is going to judge. And in spite of the message that was given, no one listened to the message. And sure enough, it happened just as Noah, that righteous preacher, preached. We have also in Scripture the record of the two cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. Here, once again, God warned of the judgment that was coming before the judgment actually came. He was, in his mercy, showing Abraham, who had a nephew who lived in Sodom and Gomorrah, and he tells Abraham so he can pray and intercede to reach his nephew Lot. God heard Abraham's prayers. He sends two angels that came, also warning of the wrath to come. God is going to destroy these two cities. And Lot hears it. Lot warns his daughters. Lot warns his daughter's husband. And here is what we have recorded Lot said. Up! Get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. They heard the warning, but they did not take it to heart. Obviously, God's warnings, may we understand, are saturated with mercy. When God gives warning, he is really showing his mercy so that he would not have to bring that judgment. I used to not quite understand when God told Jonah, 40 days and then judgment's coming. I used to interpret that it meant in 40 days, fire or whatever, how God determined to do it, was going to happen. And it appears when Jonah preached and the people repented that God did not judge them. But he did judge them. He judged them. They repented. And because they repented and they brought forth fruits that were worthy of repentance, his judgment is, now I don't have to judge you. So he didn't lie. When he told Jonah in 40 days there'll be judgment, he did judge. And the judgment was good. You repented. Therefore, I won't have to do what I said I would do. But because Jonah was sent as an act of mercy from God, so the people would repent. And they no doubt brought forth fruits worthy of repentance that was pleasing unto God. Scripture says we live in the church age, and judgment must first begin in the house of God. Genesis chapter 19, verses 15 and 16, back to Sodom and Gomorrah, after God has mercifully sent the two angels to warn Lot, and I'm pinning this or hinging this off of the statement of John the Baptist, who has warned you of the wrath to come? But it says of these two angels warning, Genesis 19, 15, and 16, and when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And while he lingered, the man laid hold upon his hand, and upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful to him. I hope we'll see that when God warns, he's not trying to show off his anger. He's trying to show his mercy. And God is being merciful by warning. Being merciful unto him, the scripture says. And they brought him forth and set him without the city. Truly, God's warnings are messages of mercy. How often we are warned in many areas of our life, but we don't seem to have a problem with those type of warnings that I'm about to mention. On medicine, you'll see warning, and it will give you instructions and careful warning. They used to, years ago, put a skeleton with two crossbars, but I guess that's not politically correct nowadays, so now they're babying us. But nonetheless, you're being warned. We're fine with that. Or how many have ever been pulled over by a police officer and you're praying, oh, let it be a warning he gives me. Don't let it be a ticket. And he comes up and your mind is working maybe like mine. How can I Jacob my way out of this? How can I? Is there anything I can say that might just bring a little bit of tenderness out of this officer that seems to be staring with such a stone face? And how many have ever tried to, don't answer that one, I might be tempting you to lie. Why tempt you me? But we want a warning. And if the officer says, you know what, I'm just going to give you a warning. Ah, thank you for your mercy. Glory be to God. Let's praise him in the highest. Warnings. And yet, when the preacher warns us, or if the Word of God warns us, or if God uses you to speak to another that the Lord may be leading you, and you warn, we find sometimes different attitudes that rise up. John the Baptist is asking a question to a huge crowd. Who has warned you of the wrath to come? Apparently, their personal view was not correct. They didn't think it would apply to them personally. Or, number one, it's not going to come. Or, number two, if it does come, it won't affect me. And John knew what they were thinking. They thought because they were physical descendants of Abraham that they didn't have to worry. They were children of Abraham. And so John says, this preacher, and don't say for a moment that you are children of Abraham, as though you think that that is going to give you a buffer from God's judgment. It won't happen. He can raise up these rocks to become children of Abraham. Yes, John knew that God required them to repent of their sins. And John just wasn't pointing to get them to repent from their sins. He pointed to the Savior is the one that can forgive you of your sins. And that's why John said, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." So he just wasn't saying, "Repent, repent," without no remedy. He pointed to the remedy. Thank God. It was an act of mercy on every account. But John made it abundantly clear what his judgment would be like. Now John is going to tell us, to some degree, from scriptures, describing God's judgment. Because remember, John said, "Who hath warned you of the wrath to come?" You must not have a clue of what it's going to be like. Let me tell you what it's going to be like. In Matthew chapter 3, we find these words, verse 12. "He will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat." Those are those good people that have come to Christ, accepted him. "He will gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." How many know John was a hellfire preacher? Because he's warning of the wrath to come. And how often I've heard people say, "I don't like to think about such things like that. I don't like to think about that kind of stuff. I don't want to get in the flesh and respond to that remark." But all of the Bible we should have an appetite for. And people say, "I don't like to think about like things like that. It makes me uncomfortable." Yes, it was designed to make you uncomfortable. I'm glad you're uncomfortable. I'm glad that it might be producing the fear of God in you. But please don't shut your door and shut out and say, "I don't want to hear it." Because we're living in a day like that. It's God's wrath is to make you uncomfortable. Absolutely. And now while you're uncomfortable, John would say, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world, you can find forgiveness. You can find peace in him. If we're listening to the warnings on medicine bottles and warnings from physicians, a physician may, after examination, may warn you about a certain lifestyle that is not healthy to you. You have no problem with that. It may be unpleasant news, but we need to hear that. Whether the warning is coming from your tax man, does it not make sense to listen to the warnings of him who gave us life and made everything? Should we not take heed to those things that we have heard the scripture says? God has been warning over and over and over throughout history. I have a book that I lent out. And if you happen to hear this tape on our website and you be the one that borrowed my book and has promised to bring it back, may I politely remind you, please bring me back my book. It is by Edith Woodworth. She was an amazing woman evangelist. And in this book, that's rather rare, she tells of one of her experiences that in a meeting, the Spirit of the Lord came upon her and she prophesied that the Titanic would sink before it sank. That was a warning. That was God's mercies. When John the Baptist was invited to the palace by Herod, who the scripture says heard him gladly, John, who was in the preacher, who warned people, at least John, we can say, is consistent. When he now comes into the palace from the wilderness and he sees Herod, and it's very obvious as he's looking at him that Herod is sleeping with his brother's wife. And John, being a faithful servant of the Lord and faithful to his word and a faithful prophet, says to Herod, it is not lawful for thee to have her. That was a warning. That was mercy. Well, he shouldn't have done it. Yes, he should have. He's obeying what God has called him to do. It was mercy to try to get him to turn. So if anybody ever points out a sin in your life, may you stop for a moment and ask yourself, has God allowed this person to say this to warn me? I hope you'll take it to heart. I hope you won't pick apart the person who says it. The question is it true? If it's true, how do you know that God may be using that person in his mercy to get you to turn from that thing that is displeasing and serve the Lord? They're not messages of condemnation. They're messages of mercy. In Amos, the 3rd chapter in the 7th verse in the Old Testament, here's what God said through the prophet. Surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants, the prophets. Before God is going to bring judgment, apparently this scripture says that God will tell a prophet. And the prophet will come and warn the one by an act of mercy in his saying what he does before it happens. Let me read the verse again. Surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants, the prophets. I know this to be true from scriptures, and I know this to be true personally from experience. He's a God that warns. Before trouble comes, God warns to try to get the one to turn. In the book of Revelation, God is warning a church that they are doing things wrong. And then God gives a warning, and he says, I'm going to give her space to repent. We don't know what that space is. If we did, we'd wait till the last, and then we'd repent. God don't want that kind of repentance. But he says, I'm warning you. I'm going to give you so much time. We don't know when he's coming. We don't know when his judgments come. Sometimes we do. He told Jonah 40 days. Sometimes he does tell us, but it's still mercy. I remember that God, for years, ever since I can remember, and the Lord has used me in this area at times, he's a God that warns. He knows the future. Sometimes he will tell us of judgment that's coming. But sometimes he will tell us of other things that may not fall into that category. I had a family in my church in White Salmon. One day the Lord spoke to me and said, go to her and tell her not to buy anything real expensive. This lady, her husband made good money, a lot of money, and he was high up. And that, I know what the Lord told me. So I went to her. I called her by name. I went to her individually, and I said, you know God does speak to me at times. Yes, yes, Pastor. I said, I don't know why. God didn't tell me why, but he told me to tell you not to buy anything expensive in the next couple of weeks. She said, oh, is something bad? I said, no, I don't want you to go there. But I just hope you'll take heed to what I believe. And she did. She thanked me 100 times because unbeknownst to her, her husband who worked at this important company wanted to help out and gave a favor, and apparently shouldn't have done it on however that went. He meant well, but there was some political upheaval, and because of that, he was laid off work for a couple of months and without pay. Oh, he got unemployment, but it was nothing compared to what his wage was. And she came and said, thank you for being obedient to the Lord for warning me because I was going to buy some serious items. God is merciful. Remember when God came to Joseph? Well, he really came to the king, not Joseph, excuse me. Joseph interpreted the dream. The king, God was merciful to give a warning and said there's going to be 7 good years and 7 bad years. It took Joseph to interpret that dream, but Joseph planned accordingly, and it put him to be, got a good promotion. I remember one time I was pastoring, and I had a vision, and I saw this. In this vision, a man was hitting me and hitting me and hitting me and hitting me, and I knew the man in the church. I did not understand what this was about. And finally, in the dream, I raised my hand up and said, that's enough. And a big wind picked that man up and threw him, I remember, up against a bunch of cardboard. That puzzled me. I knew it was from the Lord, and I asked the Lord for wisdom on what should I do with this. And so one day I spoke to this man, and I tried to do it in a way that would not be offensive, but at the same time I thought, well, maybe I've done something to offend this person, and if I have, I don't want him to have these feelings that obviously I saw in my dream. And so I went to him. I mean, we were talking to go out and to cut down a Christmas tree. And I said, and I called him by name, and I shared with him the dream. And I said, I say this because have I done anything to offend you? And he said, oh, no. And I just laid it at that. I figured, well, and I didn't know. And a few months later, this man, I don't know what happened. But he got a hold of a bad spirit, and he was teaching the young people in the church that the pastor's not feeding us, he's not teaching us, he's not, you know, when I preach, I get accused of not teaching, when I teach, I get accused of not preaching, and so he was upset, and so I called him, and I said, somebody's confronted me, and he blew up. He took off on that conversation, and I mean, I got a chew and I haven't got in my whole life. And I thought, where is that coming from? And I can honestly say I had fear grip me. And then the Lord, by His Holy Spirit, gave me the dream, and it came back. And then I said, are you done? Yes, I'm done. And he hung up in bitterness. He's never gone back to church. He's backslidden, bitter. But I had a peace come over me. It was a warning. It was a warning for him. And of course, there's more to the story, but the bitterness that came. Warnings. I've seen them come in 100 different ways. I remember one time preaching in a crowd some years back. I think I was even here, and I went off to preach, and it was a large church. And while I was preaching, I saw this. I have to be careful how I say this, but I said, I need you to, and the Lord told me exactly what to do to have this person and this worship leader. I need you to stand. Now, normally, I always do this stuff behind the scenes. I don't like to do it publicly, but the Lord told me to do it publicly. In fact, my wife asked me afterwards, why did you do that publicly? I said, because the Lord told me to do it publicly. But I asked him to stand, and I said, the Lord is showing me that you're going to have your heart broken, and the Lord will heal that broken heart, and you're going to go on to become very well known throughout the world in this field. That happened. But just as I was about to be done, the Lord said, get his wife up there also. You only get to obey God. And so I asked his wife to come up. And I said to her, you also are going to have your heart broken. And the Lord will heal that heart. And you with your husband are going to go on, and you're going to be known throughout the world internationally as great worship leaders. They weren't at the time. I didn't know it. The Lord didn't reveal that to me. But both this husband and wife, her mother and his dad were having an affair. And it got revealed later. Oh, it got really ugly and nasty. He kept going back to the tape, to the recording. Listen to it. He told me this many times. When you told me that, I thought, what in the world is that? But their hearts were broken, both the husband and the wife, knowing that their parents were having an adulterous affair. Since then, they did go on to become worship leaders that are known internationally. He pastors a very large church today. It was a warning. I've shared with you often the time that the Lord told me to go to a senator who lived a few doors down the street and tell him, you have 1 week to live. Get your house in order. And I told the church and the people afterwards, and I learned a valuable lesson. Did you go? No, I was too scared. And I thought, man, that looked really ridiculous. Next day I drove by, the Lord spoke to me again, and sure enough, he did die. And I vowed I'll never do that again. And I haven't. But God will warn. He'll use people to warn. Maybe the person will come and they don't know they're led of God, but they say something. And when they say it, something triggers inside of you and you think, is that God using them to warn me? It very well could be. God knows the future. He knows good things and judgments. Amos 3:6 says, and I wrap this up, shall a trumpet be blown in the city and the people not be afraid? Shall there be evil in a city and the Lord hath not done it? Surely the Lord will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants, the prophets. He told Abraham about Sodom and Gomorrah. That was an act of mercy. He told Joseph of the coming 7 good years and 7 bad years, the king interpreted by Joseph. He told both Jeremiah and Isaiah of a coming bondage that's coming. Please repent. They didn't, and bondage came. He told Daniel that there are 4 kingdoms, and then there would be a Savior. He told John the Baptist, one that was greater, when he pointed to Christ, knowing that Christ was greater, and he even said, that one I'm pointing to, I'm not even worthy to unloose his shoes. And as he cried, behold the Lamb of God. I think I mentioned in Sunday school this morning that hymnal, that beautiful hymnal. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. And what amazing words, worth reading. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He is trampling out the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored. Do you know when one comes to Christ, when you come to Jesus, you just stamped out God's wrath. Because by you coming to Christ, when you come to Jesus, and his blood that he shed on the cross forgives you of your sins, you won't face the wrath of God down the road. Aren't you glad if you're a Christian, you won't face that wrath? You won't. But if you don't have Christ, and if his blood has not been shed and covered you, you will face that wrath. And so we're trying to, as we preach the gospel, as you live, God may use you to warn people of the wrath to come. It's an act of mercy. When one comes to Christ, you're exchanging for themselves grace instead of wrath. Because on the cross, that is where God's wrath was poured out. It is amazing. The wrath of God was poured out, and he became a sin offering. So you and I won't have to face that wrath. God's not angry at you if you're a Christian. He's pleased with you when you walk by faith. Let's bow our heads. Father, your word said it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. We live in a day where there is less and less of the fear of God in people's eyes. But you told us it would be like that. You said it would be as in the days of Noah. Obviously, they didn't fear you then. But your mercy, Lord, can speak to us. I pray that we as Christians will remember what you said for us to do, to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. That's the wrath of God. Oh God, may we be quick to our feet. May we be quick to hear from you. May we be quick to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit, us Christians, to share the good news with others. If you're here this evening and you would say, I'm not where I need to be with God. I don't feel right where I am with the Lord. And I believe God has used this message as a voice of mercy, not condemnation, to get my attention. And I want to say, Lord, you have my attention, and I want to surrender. Would you lift your hand up if you're here? Lord, I hear your warning. I pray that all of us will take heed to these words. There's a great day coming. Lord, in our everyday activities, it's wonderful to be with family and loved ones. But I pray, God, that in the midst, there is the sobering reality. Jesus is coming. The day of judgment is coming. And those that have not Christ, oh God, no wonder Jesus wept over Jerusalem. Oh God, keep us close to the cross. Keep us close to your word. Would you stand with me this evening, please? Can we just all come for a little bit? We're going to pray and we're going to join our hearts together as a family. Would you come and we'll just stand here? He loves you. You see, if we're biblical, if we're going by the Bible and not by our feelings, the Bible says that God is angry with the wicked every day. That's what God says. And in this so seeker-friendly, sensitive thing, we. But that's what the Bible said. God is angry with the wicked every day. Now, he can be angry and he can love them at the same time. So it doesn't mean he doesn't love them. But he's angry. Well, who are the wicked? The wicked are those that haven't come to Christ and had their sins forgiven. Let's just join our hearts. Would you reach over and we're going to pray one for another. Father, we join our hearts. We may be few, but that does not matter. If one can chase 1,000 and 10,000, Lord, there's enough power here. There's enough here this evening to change the whole world. You only had 12 disciples. Oh, Jesus, Lord, unite our hearts. Keep us, Lord, in your love. But in the midst of those wonderful feelings of your love penetrating our heart, may we know there's a great day coming. And that, Lord, on that day, no wonder there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. Oh God, let us never take light of that great day. Oh Jesus, bless your people. And may each of us heed the call. And Lord, you so are good to us with your mercy to warn us, never to condemn us. It's always to do us good. So bless your people. Give them the faith and give them the strength to bring forth fruits meet for repentance. Let us not just come with words, but your Holy Spirit can help us to do what we are not capable of doing, perhaps by ourselves. So Lord, give each of us strength to live the life that you have designed for us to live. In the mighty name of Jesus, we love you, Lord. Again, Lord, I pray for my brother's family that he mentioned. Lord, bring them back to the ark, and may your mercy drops round us are falling. I pray they take heed and give our brother wisdom to be used to help them. And he can do that, Lord, by setting an example himself. And I pray grace upon him in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a good week. Bless you.